This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. We've got another 60 minutes of old-time radio crime for you this week, beginning with Jeff Regan, investigator. We'll hear his story from September 11th, 1948, titled The Story of Cain and Abel and the Santa Maria. After that, it's Stand By for Crime and The Tenant Jewels Stolen, an episode of theirs from 1953.
My name's Jeff Regan. I get 10 a day in expenses from a detective bureau run by a guy named Lyon. Anthony J. Lyon. They call me the Lion's Eye.
With Jack Webb as Jeff Regan, investigator, stand by for hard-boiled action and mystery and thrilling adventure in tonight's story of Cain and Abel and the Santa Maria.
This is the way it started. It was one of those cold, clammy mornings that the Chamber of Commerce doesn't like to have in print. I was in my place working on a four-minute egg that tasted like a boiled golf ball when the phone began bouncing. Now, I let it ring a while, and I got to thinking that it might be an old-fashioned girl who knew how to cook. It was the Lion. Hello, Regan talking.
This is me. I've been working all morning.
I'll buy you a time clock. Get to the point.
Lucky day. I just talked to Dun and Bradstreet.
How are they?
Don't be funny. We got a new client, and they tell me when the Treasury Department gets in trouble, they come to him.
Yeah?
The guy's name is Abel Roderick. Got a special from him an hour ago. He asked for a man, and I'm sending you, Regan.
You're sending me where?
His ranch. He raises horses.
Horses don't talk. What's bothering him?
Maybe it's his wife. Tell me she's got a pair of legs you'll never forget. He just said he wanted an operator out there by 12 o'clock.
You never learn, do you?
This means dog.
What else does it mean?
He'll go as far as homicide and arson when they got pockets as long as his.
Money all you ever think about.
Yeah, you learn something when you're as old as I am. That's all there is to think about.
Well, then get yourself another boy and start teaching him. I don't learn easy.
Now, just a minute. That's no attitude.
Taking somebody's check before you know who's who and what's what means trouble.
Jeffrey, please. You misunderstand me. I wouldn't jeopardize your bond or the good reputation of International by accepting an unreliable client.
Look, last week that guy had a record longer than a roll of ticker tape.
I've been with Harry Presidio all morning. He knows Abel Roderick.
Yeah.
He's the grandson of Gallant Roderick. His name used to be Rodriguez. One of our finest old California families. Jeffrey, he's a gentleman like yourself.
Oh, that's nice.
He needs our assistance. Well?
All right, where is it?
In and route between here and Santa Ana. Take Firestone.
Yeah.
Now, you run out there and see what Mr. Roderick wants. And, Jeffrey.
I know.
Call me, Jeffrey. Call me if you're running into any trouble.
Well, when the Lion hung up, he sounded as happy as a chorus girl with a new mink coat. Oh, he's a smart guy, I guess. But he uses check stubs for a telephone directory. Well, the home of Abel Roderick wasn't too hard to find. All I had to do was to get out on the highway and look for a hill. That's where it was. One of those old Spanish-type places with a block of porches, and windows, and lots of iron grillwork. Yeah, 20 years ago, it might have rated the good home section, but now you couldn't tell where the grass stopped and the weeds began. It's kind of used up and sad, like a derby winner with a broken leg. A tall blonde guy, about 30, in a black polo shirt, was stretched out on a beach chair in the front porch. He pulled off his dark glasses and watched me get out of the car and come up the steps. And he gave me one of those looks, like he was already tired of knowing me.
We don't want any.
How do you know?
We never want anything. Go away.
I'm here to see Abel Roderick. You him?
No.
But he lives here, doesn't he?
Yes. Who are you?
My name's Regan.
So?
I want to see him.
Go ahead. See him.
Everybody is nice as you.
Oh, I got a merit badge for being the nicest. What did you say your name was?
Regan.
What did you say you wanted to see him about?
I didn't say.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's too hot to play games, so I'll tell you. I don't like you and he won't like you.
Well, now, what am I supposed to do? Roll down the stairs?
It might help, baby.
Well, where'd you find him, James?
Janie, this is Mr. Regan. He came to see your husband. I guess he has business with him.
Hello, Mr. Regan. Is Abel expecting you?
At 12.
You're 10 minutes late.
Well, I'm still trying to see him.
He's in the study. Come on.
I'll see you later, Regan.
I thought I knew all of Abel's business acquaintances, but I don't remember you.
Oh, no, I'm a new one.
What do you do?
A lot of things.
You're very interesting, Mr. Regan.
Mm-hmm.
Will you be coming here often?
I don't know.
I hope so.
You keep your husband in a vault?
I'd like to. You're cute. Here we are. This is Abel's study. I guess he stepped out for a moment. Would a drink take off the rough edges?
Might.
Good. I'll make you one.
Okay. Where are the horses?
Horses? I gave that up a long time ago. I've given up a lot of things, Mr. Reuben. Let's not worry about that.
Thanks. That blonde boy out on the porch doesn't like me.
Okay, he doesn't like anybody. But let's not worry about him, either.
You're crowding me.
Don't you like to be crowded?
It all depends on whose wife is doing it.
You're worried about it, either?
I'm drinking his whiskey.
I've never had any complaints.
I don't see why you should.
Kind of a nasty crack is that?
You figure it, lady.
Mr. Nobody talks to little Janie like that.
Hello, my dear. Introduce me to our visitor.
Oh, Abel. This is Mr. Regan, darling. He says he has business with you.
Regan? Oh, Regan. Yes, of course. How do you do, Mr. Regan? I'm Abel Roderick.
How are you?
I see Janie's made you comfortable with a drink, so we can get right down to business. Oh, Janie, my dear, why don't you ask Kane if he'd like to play some tennis?
You're not very subtle, darling, but I was just leaving.
That's a good girl.
I hope to see you again.
Don't let her worry you, Regan. It's an act.
Do I look worried?
She's lovely, and if you're young and tall and Janie's around, she adopts you.
I wasn't an orphan.
She'd be sulky all day now. Well, thanks for coming out. I hope you can help me.
Well, so far, I don't even know who's on the team.
A man in my alleged position is quite often the object of subterfuge. You can understand that.
Well, you mean because you got money, yeah.
To be quite frank, I have no money, Mr. Regan.
That's going to come as a shock to somebody I know.
Who?
Never mind. Go on.
It's my grandfather, Gallant Roderick. He controls all of the wealth in this family.
You his front man?
The eldest son of a son. And I live in this deplorable old shack waiting for grandfather to die.
How long have you been waiting?
Too long, Mr. Regan. But I'm past 40 now. I don't know how to do anything else, so I continue to wait. Along with my devoted brother, Kane, who has the same thing to look forward to.
Yeah, I met him.
If you think he's bad, you should meet my grandfather. He fitted us with these charming names, Kane and Abel.
Well, what's all this got to do with me?
Here. Look at these.
Mm-hmm.
Two little ships of silver. Perfect replicas of the Pinta and Nina, named after Columbus's fleet.
Yeah. You can't buy stuff like that anymore. Not even on a time plan.
Hardly. 20 years' work on the part of an ancient silversmith in Madrid. And a prized possession of the Rodriguez family for 7 generations. My great-great-great-grandmother wore them on her wedding dress.
Where's the other one?
You've guessed it, Mr. Regan. The Santa Maria is missing. Janie wore it to Cyril's night before last.
She lose it?
Nothing so simple. It was stolen.
How?
Oh, she was with Kane. It was late when they got back. A masked man stopped their car on the turnoff. According to Janie, he was very polite, merely removed the Santa Maria, took nothing else.
What about Kane?
He was passed out. Janie was driving. Regan, the usual thing is for me to get a telephone call and have an opportunity to buy it back. Isn't that right?
Well, a heist job usually works that way, yeah.
I haven't been contacted. I'm getting worried.
What does your insurance company say?
My grandfather owns the insurance company. I've told no one but you.
You don't want him to know about it, huh?
Well, he might cut me off if he thinks I've been careless. What do you advise me to do?
Wait for that phone call and buy it back.
I'm willing to buy it back, but the truth of the matter is, Grandfather will be in from the east this week. The first thing he does when he comes out here is ask to see those ships.
Well, now look, whoever pulled the job couldn't unload a thing like that without being caught. And if he melted it down, he'd be lucky to get $50. He's as bad off as you are.
Do you think you could hurry it up?
Well, I know a couple of people.
Then you'll try and contact them for me.
I'll do what I can.
Oh, thank you, Regan. Now we just sit back and wait for my ship to come in. Bad joke, huh?
I left him sitting there in that big room. He looked about as happy as a St. Bernard with a stomachache. Well, he'd have probably felt worse if he'd have been outside on the porch. Janie was there with his brother, only they didn't hear me. Well, maybe they were just checking each other for broken ribs. I didn't bother to ask. Out on the highway, about a mile from the place, a 49 Nash picked me up. I turned off a couple of times on those little roads to make sure, but he stuck with me. Once he got real close, but he was wearing dark glasses and a straw hat, and he could have been Whistler's mother for all I knew. When I pulled into the lot by our building about 3 o'clock, he drifted along with the Broadway traffic. I took his license number, and then I backed out and drove over to 3500 Hope Street.
So I said, "Wait till I go see my friend Moriarty."
Okay, buddy. Well, let's see.
I want to trace the license number.
Accident?
No.
Damn, huh? Try with the 11.
Thanks.
Next.
I want to know who's registered for these plates right here.
4E7542. This year?
Yeah. I'm a private detective. I think it might be connected with the case.
Yeah, makes you think that.
Well, the car followed me this afternoon.
Yeah.
Just tell me who owns it, will you?
Then what?
Well, then I'm going to write you a letter.
I don't collect stamps.
You worked here too long, lady.
You're telling me. 6 years I collected fines A through G. Now I'm doing this. Thanks, huh?
Who does the car belong to?
I ain't got a lot. A lot of cars in Los Angeles. Thousands of cars. Mad months would blow his brains out if he knew just how many cars there really are around this town.
Well, Ruby DeRoy knows, mister, and don't you forget it. 47542 belongs to a guy named Richard I. Chambers.
Address?
Hotel DeSoto.
Thanks.
Come back anytime, doll. Glad to help you out.
The name Richard I. Chambers meant about as much to me as a shipload of stale bread, but it didn't take 20/20 vision to see that there was a connection. And the whole thing was phony. It was like cutting your leg off to cure your bunions. Well, I went back to the office and checked with the lion.
Okay, Regan, give it to me.
The heist, one of the family heirlooms.
Gone meat. When was it lifted?
2 nights ago.
Any contacts yet?
No, none. That's why it's screwy.
What do you mean, screwy?
Well, it was a little silver ship called the Santa Maria. Now, they'd have to sell it back to Roderick or go on relief.
Where does that leave us?
With another bum case.
Now, don't say a thing like that.
Well, your dope on Roderick was secondhand.
Tell me.
His grandfather keeps the keys.
How do you know?
Roderick said so.
He shouldn't let out family secrets. Now, you let me worry about that. Just find his little ship.
Yeah.
Guy called a half hour ago, left a number for you.
Chambers?
Yeah, who told you?
Who did?
I want you to phone him.
Never mind, skip that. I know where to get him. Things began to move. That meant that all the cards were out and somebody was asking for bets. Over at the DeSoto Hotel, the clerk told me that 305 belonged to Chambers. He was a little guy, about a head shorter than Margaret O'Brien. He shoved 3 inches of nose out at me through a crack in the door.
I thought I left word for you to phone.
You, Chambers?
I was having a beauty nap. Come back in an hour,
yeah,
will you?
You need it.
Look out!
Hey, what is this? Oh, tough guy, yeah? All right, you're tough. I think you're a bum.
All right, simmer down, Junior. You'll never make Eagle Scout.
Oh, you're so good. I gotta take that from you, huh?
We're gonna talk.
What makes you think so?
Everybody's grown up now.
Dickie Chambers talks when he feels like talking.
All right, Squirt, have it your way.
Hey, that kind of stuff ain't gonna get you nothing, Regan.
Your weight's up, Dickie. You got a different job now.
I said you're a bum.
You tell me today.
Ask your mother.
What do you want me to phone about?
Wrong track, gumshoe. The 2 buck window's downstairs.
You're in this somewhere, and I want to know where.
You're still being tough, Regan?
No. I'll let the boys in the personnel division handle you.
What do you mean?
That shiv on your dress is about an inch too long to be legal.
Call him. See where it gets you.
I'll send you a nickel later.
Okay, I'll open. Just that I don't like to get shoved around, that's all.
Why didn't you figure that before you got tangled up?
I'm your contact.
All right, come on. Let's put the show on the road. How much does it cost?
$5,000 and tens and twenties.
Go on.
Tonight, 10 o'clock. You come with him.
Where?
Mile of sight of Santa Ana Airport. Little road turns left off 101. Drive 2 miles and pop.
And then what?
Well, if he's got the $5,000, you don't try anything funny. He gets his little silver ship back.
That it?
That's it, Peeper. Happy?
See you later, Dickie.
Oh, I'm checking out tomorrow.
Hey, look, Buster, you aren't any heist man. They come smoother. What's your angle?
Yeah, I love jewelry. For you cats, maybe I love jewelry.
I don't. A guy like you's got to love something. I called Roderick and told him what I'd found out. He sounded relieved, like he'd been underwater for a long time and was just coming up for air. He said he'd get the cash, and I made arrangements to meet him at his place later on. Then I called the Lion and told him. After that, I stopped off at a place on Wilshire, and I ran up a tab watching a skinny guy trying to make a piano sound like a symphony orchestra. Well, I had some steak and potatoes, and then I drove back out to Roderick's place. It was about 9 o'clock when I got there. The same people were on the front porch doing the same thing. I remembered what the Lion had said about those legs of hers.
Oh, you.
Having fun?
Oh, Regan, huh? I thought I told you we didn't want any.
That was 8 hours ago.
We still don't want any.
I'm still here to see your brother.
Small business?
Something like that.
I don't like you any more now than I did this morning, and I hated you then.
Yeah, well, I'm going to cry about that when I get home.
You're pretty smart, aren't you, Regan?
Kane, please be careful.
He's awful smart.
Kane.
Let me go.
Yeah, let him go, lady. I'll give him back.
Now, I'll show you trying to spy on people, huh? I'm going to give you something, people. Ah.
He's been drinking. Now, look out.
Oh, God, nothing. Go on. Go.
Well, I guess he deserved that. Nasty when he works at it.
How was the other time?
There aren't any other times.
Too bad.
Maybe he'll be different when he wakes up. What do you mean about the liquor?
Different.
You're getting the wrong idea about everything.
What are you kidding?
I was a hat check girl in a cheap nightclub.
What's going on out here, Jamie? Oh, Regan, you're here. What was he acting up about tonight?
Mr. Regan.
Well, it doesn't make any difference. Take care of him, will you, Janie?
Of course, I will.
That's a good girl, Janie. You all ready, Regan?
You got it?
All set. I'll be home early, Janie. Come on, Regan, let's go.
While we climbed in my car, we drove to the place Dickie Chambers told me about. It wasn't hard to find. It was a flat dirt road to the edge of the airport. We clicked off 2 miles on the speedometer, then we switched off our lights and parked. It was dark and quiet there, like the inside of an empty barrel. Roderick didn't have much to say. He just sat there chewing on a cigar and looking at nothing. He was real good at waiting. I looked at my watch about 9:53, then I saw the headlights of another car coming down the road from a long way off. Roderick nodded his head, and I began to have a feeling like I was standing on top of the trap, and the warden had just smiled at the hangman.
That must be ours, Regan. Do you think we should switch on our headlights? They may not see us.
Well, unless they got wings, they got to pass it.
They don't seem to be slowing down much, do they?
Well, get out of the car.
What?
Get out of the car.
Hey, what is
don't
this?
Don't talk. Move.
Oh, all right, all right. What's got into you, Regan?
Come on.
Well, we can't just... Well, them think something's
but
wrong.
But this is a packed deck. You're a ringer.
I'm not sure
I... I spun him around and he fell against the car. I pulled out my gun, but it didn't do any good. Whoever it was must have been in vaudeville. That was the fastest disappearing act since Houdini.
You're listening to the story of Cain and Abel and the Santa Maria, tonight's adventure with Jeff Regan, investigator. If you're a graduate nurse between the ages of 21 and 45, you may be eligible for a commission in the Regular Officers Reserve Army Nurse Corps. If you are eligible and meet the high standards to qualify to serve with this fine organization, you may elect active or inactive status. In addition to this privilege, they also have the opportunity to take advantage of special training courses. So if you believe that you qualify for a commission in the Army Nurse Corps Reserve, apply now to the Adjutant General's Office, Washington, D.C. That's the Adjutant General, Washington, D.C. And now, back to the story of Cain and Abel and the Santa Maria and Jeff Regan, investigator.
Well, there was enough loose lead around there to start a scrap drive. Whoever it was wanted to make real sure. My car was as full of holes as a canceled check. I found a .45 slug in the seat packing, and I piled Roderick inside, and I drove over to a motor court on the highway. An old lady with a dust mop or a head of hair registered us and complained about all the drunks there were in this world. And then when I got rid of her, I went out to the phone booth and gave the Lion a ring. I woke him up.
It's 11 o'clock at night. What do you want?
one?
I'm in a jam.
You're always in a jam. Tell me about it in the morning.
Look, I'm giving it to you right now.
You drunk.
I've been with your client trying to get that ship back.
How'd you do?
I got lead instead of silver.
What do you mean by that?
Somebody doesn't like Roderick.
Who is it?
I don't know. We got there for the buyback and somebody opened up.
They can't do that.
Well, they did.
Where's Roderick now?
With me. Get a doctor and come on over.
What?
He got in the way when they started the 4th of July.
Well, take him to a hospital.
Now, look, Fatso, he isn't hurt bad, but he needs help. You're always talking about money, and here's your chance to make some.
Yeah?
They'll give you a bonus if you keep him out of the papers.
I'll be there in half an hour.
Well, the lion showed up 20 minutes later. He had a long-faced guy with him who said he was a doctor. He looked more like an undertaker, but I didn't argue. I told the lion to keep Roderick there till I phoned back. Then I beat it over to the DeSoto Hotel. The door to 305 was open. Dickie Chambers had company, only he wasn't receiving. He was lying under his sheet. A fat guy in a wrinkled suit seemed to be running things.
Come on in, brother. I didn't know Dickie had any friends.
I guess he didn't.
Who are you?
I'm the guy who met him once. Who are you?
Ed Granger, constable. This is my territory. What's your name?
Regan, private investigator.
International?
Mm-hmm.
The lion's eye, huh? Know anything about this?
I talked to him this afternoon. He gave up riding horses for other things.
What kind of thing?
He was contact man on a heist job.
Yeah? Where do you come in?
I was hired. That's why I met Dickie.
Mind telling me by who?
Mm-mm. It's a client, Granger.
This is a murder. Okay, better go for me.
When'd you find him?
A little while ago. A clerk called, said he heard shooting. I came down with the boys and found Dickie doing the long sleep. Happened less than an hour ago.
He's a tough little guy.
Well, them 45s don't know nothing about that.
45?
Big old chest and neck post range. Corner's gonna lose two bits. He thinks it's a 38.
Well, look, if it turns out big, try this one for a match here.
Oh, you've been playing games tonight?
Somebody gave it to me.
Connected?
Ballistics will tell you.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
No.
What'd you come back for?
Talk to Dickie.
No good, huh?
No good. I should have asked him earlier.
We can get you through International.
Yeah.
Well, if you got anything, remember the name. Ed Granger.
He was peeking under that sheet looking at Chambers when I left. It was kind of a sad smile on his face, like somebody put gasoline in his thermos bottle. I drifted across the street for a package of cigarettes, and then I came back and climbed in my car thinking about the whole thing. I don't know how long I sat there in the car, but when I looked up, there was a shadow against the wall of the building. It was a good-looking shadow.
Doing your homework?
Yeah, I do for a diploma.
Congratulations. What would you like for a gift?
How about a little silver ship, huh?
Sorry, too expensive. Try again.
All right, give me a 45.
What would you do with that?
Give it to a cop named Granger.
Then what?
I go home and go to bed.
You haven't asked me what I'm doing here.
I know.
Kane?
Him too?
He isn't so bad when you get to know him.
From where you're sitting, he must have wings.
Well, if it isn't the gum heel. You ready for a laugh?
What do we got, a comedy?
Take a look, Kane. Okay, bright boy, where is he?
He's sober enough to shoot straight?
I took the pledge.
Before or after you came by us out on that road?
After, baby.
You don't smell like it.
Where is he?
Try my car trunk. I'm using him for ballast.
What did you do with him, Regan?
Kane, there's some people coming. Has he told you what he did with Abel?
Not yet.
You'll have to talk to him somewhere else.
Right, Angel. Okay, Regan, come on, get out. Turn me up. Now turn around.
Let me guess what's coming.
It's a trip to the moon. Sit tight, baby. Here you go.
Oh! I settled down to having a headache. Then the headache went someplace and I had nothing. Oh, it was a nice play. Everybody was a quarterback, and everybody had the ball. I looked as good as a fat girl in a French bathing suit. It was some time later, maybe 10 years. I had a mouthful of brandy, and my throat was burning like an oil stagger. We were in Roderick's place. He was standing over me, holding a bottle in one hand and a 45 in the other.
Coming around now. Got to work fast.
Don't worry. He'll talk. Feeling better, baby? Well, you're going to feel worse. Now, sit up, baby. Come on, it's time to talk.
Now, wait a minute, Kane. Wait, let me ask you. We're all alone here. No one's going to disturb us. And we'll find out anyhow. Why don't you tell us what you did with him?
I get a short memory. I forget things.
It's a shame to let Kane do this to you. I think you're pretty. Might not be able to stop him once he gets started.
What's your idea, lady. I'm along for the view.
Iron men went out with short skirts, but I guess you don't know it yet.
You look tough, brother, but you bruise easy.
You're already wearing striped pants. You mangled it when you tagged me tonight.
Think so? Tell me how.
All right. No one knew I was a detective but your brother. That meant you hired Dickie Chambers to find out.
So you know it. So what?
So you bumped Dickie when you thought it was finished.
Well, that makes you know I'm not kidding.
With a constable named Granger.
Kane?
Relax, Angel, relax. Don't let him scare you. He hasn't told anything to anybody.
No?
No. If you did, we would have found him in a hospital. I saw him go down.
Are you sure?
Of course I am. Now all we got to do is find him. So let's get started. No. Well, you talk now, huh? No? It's going to get worse, baby. You might have to write it later.
You got hold of a bad label.
Stop it. This isn't getting us anything.
Yeah, but I'm having fun.
No, kill him.
Let go of
my
arm.
Now we need him. We've got to find him in the car with Abel. It's ruined if you kill him.
I said let go. Now, where were we, baby?
I said to stop.
Huh?
Stand away from him.
Are you crazy or something?
It would have worked fine if you could think. But you can't think. You're no good to me anymore.
Janie.
He shook all over a couple of times like he was saying no in a big way. And then he finally relaxed. She knelt down and took something out of his pocket. I tried to lift one of my arms, but I got about as far as I would trying to hook a whale with a salad fork. I must have looked real bad, because all of a sudden her eyes kind of lit up and she came over.
You've taken a lot of punishment, mister.
Yeah, not as much as you're going to take.
A matter of opinion. By the way, you didn't happen to be carrying that $5,000.
You're looking for a stake?
Yeah. I'm going out prospecting.
Trip around the world?
Far enough to make some new connections. That's all a girl needs. Here. Here's the little chip. You didn't do it for nothing.
You run out of bullets?
No. If they ever get me, I'll say justifiable homicide. He's trying to kill you. You're my witness. Oh, you are pretty. Take care of yourself. Goodbye.
Take care of yourself. Goodbye. That's all she said, and that was the last I ever saw of her. Well, it seems that Janie and Kane had figured to tag both of us out on that road, and it'd all be blamed on a phony heist gang. There was a lot of insurance they could have turned into ready cash, but I had a feeling that when I made Abel get out of that car that night, it'd ruin things for him. Janie and Kane thought that they could still do it if they could find him and get us together again. That's why he went to work on me. Kane already killed Dickie Chambers because he thought there might have been a double cross, and I guess he was kind of crazy by the time he got around to me. Well, anyway, about 3 months later, a detective sergeant down in Miami Beach spotted Janie one night working the hat stand in a nightclub. Everybody wondered how he could recognize her. She dyed her hair, and it really changed her appearance. But it figured. You see, the police folder had a picture of her in a bathing suit. And she couldn't change those legs.
Jack Webb is featured as Jeff Regan, with Wilms Herbert as Anthony J. Lyon. It's CBS at 9:30 next week for more hard-boiled action and mystery with Jeff Regan, investigator, written by E. Jack Newman, produced by Sterling Tracy. The role of Janie Broderick was played by Lorene Tuttle. Marvin Miller was Abel and Wally Mayer was Kane. Dickie Chambers was Sidney Miller and Paul Freeze played Ed Granger. Are you a graduate registered nurse? Do you know someone who is? Then please listen carefully to this important message from the Adjutant General's Office, Washington, D.C. 29,000 nurses are needed to join the new Army Nurse Corps Reserve. For the first time in history, qualified nurses are given the opportunity of receiving a commission in the regular Army Reserve. All nurses who receive reserve commissions will benefit from the opportunity for specialized training offered to them by the Army. Don't wait. If you're a registered graduate nurse between the ages of 21 and 45, drop a card for complete information to the Adjutant General, Washington, D.C. Original music for this program is by Dick Arant. Jeff Regan, the investigator, is heard every Saturday at 9:30 over CBS. Bob Stevenson speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Stand by for crime.
Hi, Chuck Morgan speaking, newscaster on radio station KLP here in Los Angeles. You know, it's an interesting job, this newscasting. Sure, most days are like routine stories, routine happenings. But every once in a while, something comes up that's different. This was $500,000 different. I mean that jewel robbery out in Beverly Hills last week. They got away with a huge diamond clip and other trinkets which belonged or had belonged to Oscar Tenet, the movie mogul. You probably read that Oscar had passed into the great beyond a month before. Well, his widow, Dora Tenet, a wheelchair invalid, had decided to have a private showing for a small group. I was invited, as was my boss, Pappy Mansfield, owner of KLP. And, of course, Carol Curtis, my blonde secretary, had to tag along. So directly after my 7 o'clock broadcast, the three of us had dinner at the Plaza Hotel and then headed out for Beverly Hills.
What's the purpose of this show, Chuck? The old lady won't ever want to know how rich she is?
No, Pappy, I think it's a release of a long period of frustration.
Frustration? How can anybody who owns a $500,000 diamond be frustrated?
That's the point, Glamourbus. The well-remembered Oscar Tenet was kind of a screwball about his money. He started with nothing, you know, and made a lot fast.
That's right. He began buying things he could never afford before and stashing them away. He got a bang out of knowing he had the stuff even though he never used it.
Yeah.
Do you mean Mrs. Tenet was never allowed to wear the diamond clip?
That's it, exactly. All her friends heard she had the clip and were asking to see it, but Oscar never let her take it out of the safe. People began to wonder if the oversized diamond really existed.
So now she's going to prove to everybody that it does exist, huh?
That's the way I figure it, Pappy.
Golly, I can hardly wait to see a rock that size. Chuck, do you suppose...
No.
But, Chuck, you don't even know what I was going to say.
Oh, yes, I do. I can't afford even a little one.
But, Chuck, after all, we are engaged, and Pappy would be...
No, I said. You tried having Pappy deduct payments from my salary once before, and I was broke for 6 months.
Chuck, look, I'd be...
No. The Tenet estate was one of those rambling one-story deals with a lot of rolling lawn and shade trees. Must have been about 8:30 when we turned into the drive. Oddly enough, the house was almost dark. As a matter of fact, it looked to us as if only one light were burning, and that in the rear of the house.
That's funny. The place looks deserted.
Yeah. You sure you haven't got your dates mixed, Chuck?
Mrs. Tenet said the 6th. Today is the 6th, isn't it?
That's right. I happen to know because yesterday was the 5th, and tomorrow is the 7th.
Right, girl. Okay, you two stay here. I'll go up and find out what the score is. Maybe it was crazy, but as I walked up to that darkened house, I had a feeling that something was very wrong about all this. No reason, except for the darkened house and the fact that there were no other cars parked in the drive. But it turned out that those reasons were enough. I pushed the doorbell button, heard chimes away inside the house. For a minute, nothing happened. Then I heard a step behind me and felt something all too familiar pressed into the small of my back.
All right, mister. Get your hands up.
What? Who the devil are you?
Never mind who I am. You're under arrest for stealing the Tenet jewels.
Dark on the veranda. The man with the gun was only a vague shape. The gun barrel was still an uncomfortable pressure in my back. So I decided not to make a hero out of myself, but do as I was told. All right, so I'm a jewel thief. I came back to give myself up. What do I do now?
Get inside.
Sure, sure. Only don't get trigger happy with that gun. I bruise easily. This was crazy. In the pitch darkness of the room we entered, I could have at least grappled with the man with the gun. He must have known that. I took a chance, swung wildly, and connected with thin air. Then there was a snap of a switch. The room was suddenly flooded with light. Across the room, one hand still on a wall switch, the gun in the other, was a small gray-haired guy of about 50. In the middle of the floor was a woman in a wheelchair. She, too, was gray-haired, about the same age. She was leaning slightly forward. There was a bright gleam in her eyes, a sort of eager, anticipatory look, as though she were enjoying the situation.
So, this is what a jewel thief looks like. Upon my soul, you look exactly like a human being.
All right, I'll go along with the gag. I am a human being.
Ordway, don't let this man's innocent appearance deceive you. Keep him covered.
One false move and he gets it.
Well, you tell me what a false move is so I won't make one, huh?
My, such impudence. You'll be singing a different tune, my fine young friend, when you're languishing in the local Bastille.
The local Bastille?
Oh, don't try begging for mercy. I intend to be absolutely heartless in this matter. Well, are you going to make a full confession, or shall we, what's the word, Ordway?
Sweat.
Yes, sweat. Or shall we sweat it out of you?
I'd like to be sweated.
You would? Ordway, did you hear? He wants to be sweated. Oh, I'm afraid you'll have to, Mother. Did you?
What in the world is going on here?
Oh, come in, my dear. I want you to see what a real live jewel thief looks like.
A jewel thief? Well, who? Where? Surely you don't mean Mr. Morgan.
What was that, Isabel?
The man Ordway is pointing the gun at is Chuck Morgan, a radio newscaster. I know him anywhere.
Oh, no.
Oh, Mother, this is absolutely the last straw. I should think you'd be ashamed of yourself. How in the world are you going to apologize to Mr. Morgan? What if he uses the story on one of his broadcasts? We'll be the laughingstock of everyone in town.
That must be the rest of my gang now. Shall I let them in?
I'll go. Yes?
We're looking for Chuck Morgan. Is he here?
Come on in, Pappy Carroll. I was just about to be sweated.
What do you mean, sweated?
Yeah, and what's the idea of leaving us sitting out there in the car?
Please, Mr. Morgan, do you mind?
Okay. We'll keep it our secret.
Thanks.
Mrs. Tennant, this is my secretary, Carol Curtis, my boss, Pappy Mansfield. Mrs. Tennant, her daughter, Isabel, and, Ordway.
How do you do? Well, when does the show start? I've got to get back to the station.
But I don't understand. It was tomorrow night that I planned to put the jewels on display.
So you did get the dates mixed after all, Chuck.
Well, then my memory's taken a bad turn for the worse. I was positive you said the 6th, Mrs. Tennant.
She did.
But, Isabel, darling...
Oh, Mother, I was sitting right beside you when you called Mr. Morgan. You asked him out for the 6th.
Oh, dear. Oh, I'm so sorry. Will you ever forgive me, dear people?
Well, where's the harm? Now that we're here, why can't we have a look at the jewels?
Why, that's simple. They've been stolen.
Stolen?
What?
Do you mean you were actually serious when you thought that I had...
But of course, dear boy. Why shouldn't we think that you were the culprit?
Mother, I don't believe it. It's another of your wild attempts to be dramatic.
Well, then look for yourself, my dear.
I will.
I don't get this.
Seems as though something's wrong someplace.
Oh, I assure you, my dear, there's not a thing wrong. The jewels were stolen about 15 minutes before Mr. Morgan arrived.
15 minutes before? Have you notified the police?
No. Ordway and I planned to capture the thief ourselves. We almost did, too. I mean...
Mrs. Tennant, pardon us if we all seem a trifle confused, but just why did you think the thief would return?
Because he didn't get the diamond clip.
Huh?
Ordway and I knew that when he discovered that fact, he'd return. So we turned off the lights and waited. We doused the glim.
Well, I'll be darned.
Where is the clip now?
Right in the safe in a separate package where I placed it last night, ready for the showing.
It's true. The jewels are gone.
Of course, dear. All but the diamond clip. That's still in the safe.
I'm afraid you've overdone it this time, Mother. The diamond clip's gone, too.
There wasn't any doubt about the sincerity of Mrs. Tennant's concern when she heard that the $500,000 diamond had actually vanished. If she'd been playing at dramatics up to now, the show was over. The old lady practically threw a fit. Still, for my money... Nothing much tied together about this screwy affair. However, I smelled a story, and a good one, so I decided to stick around. Pappy went to call the cops. Isabel did what she could for her mother, who by now was having genuine hysterics. While Ordway, Carol, and I went into the room where the wall safe was located. It wouldn't take a very smart safecracker to bust that one open. How many know the combination, Ordway?
Just Mrs. Tennant and her daughter.
I see. Where do you fit into the picture, by the way?
Why, I've been chauffeur, gardener, and general handyman for the tenants for years.
There's only one window in this room, Chuck. Up there.
Yeah.
It's too small for anyone to get through.
A small man might be able to do it. What's outside, orderly?
A flower garden, sir.
You suppose you could scare up a flashlight so we could have a look?
Oh, yes, sir. There's one right here in this drawer.
Good. Carol, take a look at Mrs. Ten, will you? She may need a doctor. If the police arrive... Oh, hello, Pappy. Get through to the police?
No. Chuck, this may be a screwy deal, but there's a lot about it that isn't screwy.
Huh?
The telephone wires have been cut.
No kidding.
No kidding. Tell you what. Suppose you stick around here while I drive down and report this.
That's a good deal, Pappy. See you later. So Pappy went off after the cops. Carol went in to lend a hand with Mrs. Tennant. And Ordway and I went out the back door and around the house toward the flower bed. There were no trees on this side of the house. The stars were bright, so Ordway didn't switch on his flashlight, which turned out to be a lucky thing. Or maybe it wasn't. We were within 5 paces of the flower bed when Ordway suddenly yelled,
"Look out, sir!"
It was too late. Something hit me behind the ear with the force of a pile driver. I went down and out and stayed down and out for a long time. At least it seemed that way to me. Then I saw the stars up above dancing around like pinwheels. From a long way off, a voice kept saying over and over again,
"Mr. Morgan, are you all right? Mr. Morgan, are you all right? Mr. Morgan? Mr. Morgan? Shall I get a doctor, Mr. Morgan?"
No, never mind a doctor. What hit me?
I don't know who it was, sir. He jumped from behind that shrub. He had something in his hand, a club of some sort. I yelled, but he was too quick for me, sir.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, he ran off, sir, like a flash.
Why did you go after him?
Why, 2 reasons, sir. I thought you needed attention, and, well, I knew he couldn't get away.
What do you mean he couldn't get away?
Well, because he ran in that direction, sir. There's an 8-foot wall that nobody could get over without a ladder. Now, the only other avenue of escape is through the house or right past here, which means the man who hit you must be hiding on the grounds right now.
Now, the conclusion of Stand By for Crime.
Well, if the man who belted me was still on the grounds, I intended finding him. My head was pounding like a voodoo drum. I wasn't very steady on my feet as Ordway and I started out in the direction he'd indicated, which accounts for the fact that I stumbled into the general handyman when he suddenly stopped. Sorry, what's the matter?
Oh, careful, sir. I just saw a movement behind that shrub.
Yeah? Well, turn your flashlight over that way.
Yes, sir. Confound it, the battery seems to be dead.
Oh, no.
Oh, there it is again, sir. Look, he just moved.
Yeah, there is something there. Come on, Ordway, let's move in. Ordway and I began moving cautiously toward the shrub. There was a vague shape beside it, a shape that stood motionless until we were almost up to it. Then,
come on, Ordway, after him!
The man, whoever he was, must have held a track record. He was away from us like a streak of light. We kept after him, spreading out a little so that when he came to that 8-foot wall, he'd have to turn back and run into one of us. Well, he came to the 8-foot wall, and he turned back right into my arms. I made a flying tackle, grabbed him around the knees, brought him to the ground. Ordway came running over, flung himself across the guy's chest, pinning him to the ground.
We've got him, sir! We've got him!
Yeah, we've got him. Get up on your feet.
Keep your hands off of me!
Yeah.
How do you think you're throwing around?
Who do you think you're belting behind the ear with a baseball bat, huh?
Didn't belt anybody with anything! Yeah. Ordway, tell this jerk whoever he is who I am!
So you know the young man, do you, Ordway?
Why, it's Mr. Avery, sir.
Yeah? Who's Mr. Avery?
Mr. Paul Avery. He's a friend of Miss Isabel.
I see. This is the way he does his courting, eh? Well, Mr. Paul Avery, let's get back to the house so we can take a look at you and ask a few questions. Paul Avery, kid about 20 or 21 years old, was sullen and defiant. He didn't want to go back to the house, but he went with my help. When we got there, we found Carol and Isabel alone in the living room. The latter took one look at our prisoner and let out a cry.
Paul! Oh, Paul, what have they done to you?
It's okay, Isabel. I'm all right. They came charging at me and I ran. I guess they thought I was some kind of prowler or something.
Oh, the idea.
We thought it was more than that. In fact, we're practically sure he was the man who socked me behind the ear with a pile driver.
Socked you? Oh, you big bully. Chuck,
Are you all right?
Oh, of course I'm all right. Forget
I've about already me. Told you I didn't sock anybody. I was just coming here to see...
Paul Avery, what are you doing here? Haven't I forbidden you this house? Haven't I told you 100 times?
Mother, please.
No, Isabel. I made up my mind about this young man some time ago. He's not to be trusted. Ordway, what is Paul Avery doing in this house?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Tennant. We found him prowling about the grounds. Mr. Morgan had been attacked and we thought that...
Naturally, you thought that it was Paul Avery who stole my jewels. I just examined the safe myself and I'm sure of it. Ordway, will you please search Mr. Avery's pockets?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, wait a minute. I didn't rob any safe. I only came here to see Isabel. We were going
all
to
right,
meet out
steady,
there...
Steady, son, steady. It'll only take a minute and it'll be painless.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
He certainly doesn't look like a safe cracker to me.
No, let's see here. Oh, who? What's this?
It's one of Mother's rings.
I knew it. I knew it the minute I laid eyes on that young man. He's a thief. Paul Avery, where's my diamond clip?
I don't know. I don't even know what a diamond clip looks like.
Let's start with the ring, then. How did that happen to be in your pocket, son?
I don't know. I never saw it before.
Oh, that's rich. That's very rich indeed. Never saw it before. Then how did it get into your pocket, I'd like to know?
Well, someone must have put it there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Someone had to put it there. And who else had the chance but Ordway and this guy here?
The idea. The very idea accusing Ordway or Mr. Morgan. Mr. Morgan, I demand that you arrest Paul Avery at once.
Well, I'm not a policeman, Mrs. Tennant. If I were, I think I'd ask a few more questions and search a few more pockets before I arrested anybody. Wasn't anything to do but hang around until Pappy got back with the police. At my suggestion, Paul Avery agreed to remain at the house. It looked pretty bad for him if he didn't. That was all right with Dora Tennant. She was positive the kid had the diamond clip, and she kept ranting on about how she was going to have him arrested the instant the cops arrived. I looked around for a flashlight that would work, couldn't find one, so I got a handful of matches from the kitchen. Carol and I went outside and started around to the flower bed.
Pappy's been gone long enough. Wonder what's keeping him.
I was wondering myself.
Chuck, do you think Paul Avery is the thief?
Could be.
Or how about Ordway?
Could be.
You didn't slip the ring into Avery's pocket, did you?
Oh, that's a bright question.
Okay, okay. But I've known you to do such crazy things when unraveling one of these mysteries. Oh, what's this here?
The flower bed beneath the window of the room where the safe's located.
Oh, what do you expect to find?
I don't know. Let's have a look. I'll get down here. Yeah. Looks like a freshly planted bed.
There certainly aren't any flowers. As a matter of fact, there isn't anything.
Wait a minute. Here's something. This rounded mark in the dirt near the edge of the lawn here.
Well, it looks like... What's the imprint of the toe of a man's shoe?
That's exactly what it is, Glamorpus. Someone came up to the edge of the bed, leaned over to pick up something.
But what? There's nothing there now.
Wait a minute. Ow! We don't have another match. There we are. Now look, I'll be the man. I stand on the edge of the lawn like this with the toe of one shoe on the flower bed. I lean forward and... Hey!
What is it? I still don't see anything.
That depression in the soft dirt over there.
Chuck, that's it. Someone threw something.
Yeah.
The box containing the jewels out of the window and then picked it up.
No, 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 no. That's wrong, Glamorpus. The diamond clip was in a package by itself, remember? A diamond clip wouldn't weigh enough to make a mark in the dirt that deep. Wouldn't be shaped like that either. About 3 inches long and rounded.
Then what did make it?
I don't know. Let me think. How much a drop is that from the window, would you say? 8 feet, maybe? Yeah. Now, how much would an object dropping 8 feet have to weigh to make an impression that deep in soft dirt? The consistency of which...
I know a good one like that, too.
Huh?
If a boat is traveling due west at a rate of 25 miles an hour, how old's the captain?
Oh. Sorry, Glamorpus. I was trying to figure something out.
Oh, you were just showing off, and I'm not impressed. So let's get back to the business at hand.
Okay, let's go.
Go where? Aren't you going to try and figure out what was dropped from the window?
I did. Didn't you hear me?
Do you mean you weren't kidding with all that double talk?
Of course not. Didn't I ever tell you at school I was a whiz at mathematics? I remember once my teacher said...
Morgan.
Oh, Isabel. You're looking for someone?
Yes, I'm looking for you. May I talk to you a minute?
Sure, go ahead.
Shall I leave?
No, stick around, Glamorpus. Isabel doesn't mind. Or do you, Isabel?
Of course not. Mr. Morgan, Paul didn't steal Mother's jewels.
Huh?
I'm sure of it.
What makes you so sure?
Well, because I love him.
My figures.
Oh, quiet, Grandma Puss. Isabel, is the reason your mother doesn't want you to marry Paul because she thinks he doesn't have enough money?
That, and because she doesn't want me to leave her. Since Father died, she leans upon me heavily for companionship and comfort.
Yeah. As I recall, your father died of a series of heart attacks, which began about a year ago.
Yes, that's right.
And it was right after that your mother became confined to her wheelchair.
Yes. I think her invalidism was due partly to the fact that the doctor told her father a little chance of recovering.
Pardon me for asking a dumb question, but what's all this got to do with the stolen jewels?
Everything, Glamour Puss, everything. Come on, let's go inside and I'll tell you why.
I can't understand why you've asked us all to gather in this room, Mr. Morgan. And I can't understand either why that man hasn't returned with the police. What was his name? Mansfield? Oh, yes, that was it. Mansfield. Or was it he who stole the jewels? Ah, perhaps I have something there. Perhaps he isn't Mr. Mansfield, or you're not Mr. Morgan. Well, Mr. Morgan?
Are you through, Mrs. Tennant?
I'm not sure I like the tone of your voice.
I'm afraid you're going to like it less when I finish. How would you like to know where your diamond clip is?
What? You know where my diamond clip is?
Oh, yes, I know.
Well, then give it to me at once.
Just a minute. Don't you want to know where the other jewels are that were stolen?
All right. Yes, of course. But it's the diamond clip that's important. It's worth more than all the others put together.
Yeah, that's the point. That's the reason you forgot your dramatics and practically had hysterics when you learned that the clip was missing. Because the diamond clip, Mrs. Tennant, was the only jewel that was really stolen. Playing a hunch with only a few facts to back it up, but it looked as though it were going to pay off. Ordway was standing near the outside doorway, the flashlight still bulging in his pocket. He looked at me blandly as I walked up to him. All right, Ordway, hand it over.
Hand what over?
The diamond clip, of course.
Are you kidding? Why, you can search every pocket in my clothes and you won't find it.
That's a good deal. I'll start in this pocket containing the flashlight. Just let me remove it,
will you? Give me that!
Give you what, Ordway? The flashlight? Why? It doesn't work. You said so yourself.
But...
kind of light for such a big flashlight, Ordway. I wonder why. I'll tell you why. One of the battery cells have been removed. You took it out and threw it out of the window so you'd have a safe hiding place for the diamond clip, which you stole. You later recovered the cell from the flower bed after you slugged me.
Ordway, not you. You couldn't have...
Don't act so shocked, Mrs. Tennant. It was you who stole your own jewels. You and Ordway. That's why you weren't worried and you could play at dramatics until you found out that the clip was gone, too. You didn't want that stolen, because there was no way of recovering it without admitting your guilt, and an insurance company wouldn't pay out without a real tough investigation.
Why, the idea! The very idea! This is terrible.
It's nowhere near as terrible as the fact that you're no more an invalid than I am.
What's that? What's that you said?
It's what you said that gave away your little game. You said you examined the safe yourself for the missing clip. That safe is more than 5 feet above the floor. Now, you couldn't very well search it from a wheelchair, could you?
Mother!
Wait a minute, Isabel. You better hear the rest of your mother's selfish tale. When she knew your father couldn't live more than a year after his heart attack, she decided to make herself dependent upon you so she'd never be left alone. So she confined herself to the wheelchair and worked on your sympathy. Then Paul Avery came along and you fell in love with him. Your mother was threatened with being left alone again. So she conspired with Ordway to have some worthless jewels stolen and to plant one on Avery. Then she invited me out, so the business would receive a lot of publicity. Only Ordway couldn't resist such a golden opportunity to pull a double cross and steal the clip. Am I right, Mrs. Tennant, or am I guessing?
Oh, Isabel. I was so afraid of being alone.
Mother, you didn't. You couldn't have done such a dreadful thing.
All right, Morgan, and the rest of you, the show's over. I'll drill the first one who moves.
So I'd forgotten about Ordway's gun. Well, that's me. Always forgetting something important. Only this time, I wasn't too worried. I'd seen something that Ordway couldn't have because of his position near the door. Outside, a car had stopped at the foot of the veranda steps. Pappy Mansfield and two uniformed policemen had gotten out of it. So I only stood there and watched. I watched Ordway back up to the door. thinking this was perfect timing and that Pappy was, as is usually the case, going to have the final word. Ordway put his hand behind him and opened the door. And there were Pappy and two cops waiting.
All right, Ordway, the show's over for you, too. Get your hands up.
That's Case Closed for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from Jeff Regan, Stand By for Crime, past episodes of this show and all the other podcasts at RelicRadio.com. There's also a link there to our Shoutcast stream and, of course, our donate button if you enjoy this and all the shows would like to help support them. My thanks, as always, to those who have, and thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Wednesday with another episode of Case Closed.